Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning and we thank you for this book. Lord, we're glad that you didn't just leave us looking at the universe and ourselves and all around us and wondering who is it that made all of this and not explain himself. We're glad we have a book that you preserved. Not only did you write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, preserved for our day, that we may see the true and living God. And so now we ask that you'd give us wisdom to be able to understand this book that reveals yourself to us. And give us an insight of what's happening as we compare things and look at things from a physical standpoint, from an academic standpoint, and then work that together in the spiritual realm as God gives us understanding spiritually about the things of God. And our Father, we know this is not our home. We're just passing through. We are not going to put down our ties here as if we're going to live here forever this time. We know we're coming back one of these days when you come back and bring us back after the tribulation period, millennia, and on down through the eons of time. But now we have a responsibility. I believe we can understand some things of your word about what you're doing that will help us understand why we have a responsibility and maybe take our responsibility more serious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Leviticus chapter 7 to begin with. Now, as I read these verses, I'm amazed today how people are saying that, you know, how do you know that God is real? The things that have happened. How can God get us out of this that we're involved in? Because we can't see God. And you talk about faith, and you're hearing people say now you need more than faith to get us out of this mess we're in, financial and otherwise. Well, I don't know about you. I don't love to go through hard times. But I know this. I know when God allows us to go through something, he's letting us see something now that's going to happen in the future. This is nothing compared to what's going to take place in tribulation period midway. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. And so I was thinking about the more we understand about what God is doing is to understand what he said in the past. And there's things that goes on, and I realize that God said something from time to time, and he doesn't explain himself when he first says it. And then other times, he'll say something a few years later here, or sometimes a short period later, he'll explain why he said what he said. But it's said in such a way that if you don't really understand the spiritual aspect, you won't get it. Now, if I'd say to you this morning that there's power in the blood, but Ken and them sung that, they had no idea what I was going to preach on, but that's my message. There's power in the blood. Now, how can I understand that? How can I explain that to others in this world? Probably can't unless they understand that God is still running this thing. God started it. The information that we have from him is very important. He's going to come out victorious in the end. He doesn't change his mind. I read a story where a fellow was a tough contractor, and he was a foreman on a job, and he had, 20, 25 people working for him. And the first day they came into the job, he said, "Now, fellas, look at me." He called them all together and said, "Look at me." He said, "I don't want anybody to sass me when I tell you to do something." He said, "I want you to know I can lick every one of you men that's working for me." And one fellow said to him, said, "Hey, boss man." He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I don't think you can lick me." He said, "Come here." The guy walked up to him. He looked the button down. He said, "I think you're right. You're fired." Well, I'll tell you, God's sitting on the throne, and he can lick us all if he wants to, but thank God he doesn't. He loves us. I thank the Lord for that. Also, he gives us information. We have to believe by faith, though. A little boy was headed home one day, and his mother and daddy had put him on a train. I don't know, he's less than 10-year-old, I guess, and his people were going to meet him at the next depot, I guess, of the train. And he happened to sit beside a fellow who was a very educated fellow. And he'd been to Sunday school the Sunday before, and he got his Sunday school material out, and a little boy then started reading the Sunday school material and looking at it. And this fellow looked at him, who was very educated in a nice business suit. And he said, "Son, you tell me one thing." I noticed you said he looks like a little paper. He said, "Yeah, this is my Sunday school lesson." He said, "Son, you tell me one thing that God can do, and I'll give you this beautiful red apple right here." The little boy looked at that apple and he said, "Sir, you tell me something that God can't do and I'll give you a bushel of apples." Well, I think that's the way we need to think. God can do anything He wants to do that's reasonable. And when I say reasonable, I mean, you make up some foolish. Someone said one time, how can God make something so strong that, or so fast that He can't stop it? Well, that's kind of foolish. If God wanted to, I'm sure He could. I can't explain it. One thing I can't explain either, how He washes in the blood. But He does. You say, preacher, how is that? Well, if you look with me in Leviticus chapter 7, in verse 26, here's what He said. Moreover, He's talking to Israel now. Moreover, you shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of the fowl or the beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Look with me, if you will, over in chapter 17. Now here He just gives the information. He said, don't you eat any blood of any kind. The one that is cut off. He doesn't tell why. He doesn't go into detail. He makes a statement and He says, Israel, you believe this. Accept this. Hi, this is law. Then we come over to Leviticus chapter 17 and He gives an information a little bit later. And He shows us and He explains, I think, not only to Israel, but to the rest of the world. By the way, isn't it an amazing thing that this was made some, I guess, 3,500 years. This statement was made 3,500 years ago. Isn't it an amazing thing that man has only found out probably in the last 100 plus years that this statement is true? Look what He says. He said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. And then He goes on, therefore I say the children of Israel did not eat no blood and so forth. Latter part of verse 13, He said, he shall pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. When you kill an animal, you take the blood, you pour it out, cover it with dust, go back, pour it back to the dust. He said, verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. It's very important that God wants them to know that blood is something that He has made, is not to be partake of. By the way, only pagans drink blood. You know, everything you see, vampire and everything, I'm talking about blood, always has to do with something with the evil side. If you look in Genesis chapter 9 with me, go back to Genesis 9 and verse 3 and 4, and we'll see, He says here, and this, is at the very beginning, we could say probably 4,300 years ago, 45, something like that. Every morning, verse 3 in chapter 9, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, as the green herbs have I given you all things. Now, this is after the flood. He's giving back. Before, they couldn't eat meat. Now God has given clearance. If it's sanctified by prayer, they can eat meat. He said, again, every thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as a green herb have I given you all things. Now, I'm glad God said that, but there's some things I just don't care much about eating, do you? I've seen a survival thing here recently of a fellow who was in the service showing how to survive. You get captured in a foreign field somewhere, and he was eating termites and grub worms and everything else. Now, I don't know about you. I wasn't about hunger. I could eat about anything. But by the way, God gave him the right to eat him. He said, every moving thing. Amen? I like my stuff to be not moving, don't you? But He said, every moving thing. God said that. And He said, but flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood, thereof shall ye not eat. Interesting. Why? Because it's the life of the flesh. What will God have us to do, or what will God allow to get this nation to realize that He's still on the throne? How far would God go as far as He needs to go? Folks, I want you to know God's still on the throne. Amen. And we need to understand that, even though it gets hard. People used to take blood out when someone got sick. I remember going to Mount Vernon years ago and reading an article they had about George Washington. They said one of the things they did, he got very sick a number of times, is drain blood from him. They used to think that if you get contaminated blood out, you could live longer. Isn't that amazing? God said, 3,500 years ago, life of the flesh is in the blood. You don't take it out, you put it in. If you need blood, you put it in. Take it out, you're dying. Now, he uses this for an example, I think, to let us understand some things about spiritual. He's given a physical situation here about life physically. It's in the blood. And when you get down to the New Testament and see what Christ did, that our spiritual life is in the blood also, the blood of Christ. We're washed from our sins through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. God gave blood on the altar as an atonement for sin. Now, if I'm going to understand this, I need to look at these verses of Scripture and what God has said, ask Him, give me an understanding. And He lays it out in such a way that though I cannot understand all I need to about being washed in the blood, but I believe it, because everything He said about the physical blood is true, and therefore everything that puts Him where He's supposed to be. So if I don't understand something and God said it, that's all right. It's still held intact. He's going to do what He said He'd do. And I believe it all in my heart. September 27, 1959, when I asked Christ to come in my heart, He washed me in His blood. Amen. He said He'd do it. He said in Revelation He'd do it. In 1 John 1, He said He'd do it. And therefore, I believe that. Now, explain it. Well, let me give you, follow me closely this morning, and let's see what happened. First of all, I want to understand a little bit about the structure of the blood of this body. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist anyway, but I read. And I've read some handbooks and other things recently that list some things. And there's the structure of the blood. My blood, your blood in this body. They say there's plasma. Plasma is a colorless liquid where various cellular elements are found. There's platelets. Platelets are thin, transparent cells. There's red cells. We've learned to learn these days and give these names to them. These red cells carry fuel to the tissue in form of combined oxygen, which gives the blood its color. Then there we know there's white cells. We've heard all these. We may not know what to do, but we've heard of these before. White cells defend the body in combated infection. They increase to attack germs in the body. They are called soldiers of the body. When you cut yourself, you have a place, or there's a sore comes. You see a little white head come up or around it. It's called pus. Pus forming by the millions on a sore or cell soldiers who died protecting the place on the body trying to make it well. The blood and white cells clean up the battleground and build new tissue around that particular place for complete healing. The blood also picks up the cell garbage of the body and discharges through the kidneys and the skin, the bowels and lungs. Then it refills with oxygen and repeats it again about every 23 seconds. It picks up the garbage and delivers new stuff in the same vehicle. Well, the health department in America had trouble with that, wouldn't they? Can you imagine waste management coming by and picking your trash up, and next day coming right back and bringing your food and your meat and everything else and not even clean nothing up at all, just in the same vehicle? Well, that's what our blood does. It's important. There are many kinds of tissue in the physical body. There's nerves and muscles and fat and gland, and we know what fat is, and bone and connected tissues. These tissues have one thing in common. They're small, fixed cells with limited functions. The blood is fluid and mobile, and it's not limited to one part of the body. It moves throughout the entire body, has access every 23 seconds. Every cell in the body is connected by the blood. My cell in my toe is connected to the head. And every 23 seconds, the blood, as the heart beats, connects these two together. Again, it's fluid, it's mobile, not limited to just one place. Blood is the liquid tissue that can reach every cell in the body and unite all the members of the body with each other and also unite with the head as you look at the body. Now, it's interesting. In a normal body, there's something about 5 quarts of blood. It is pumped by the heart through the body every 23 seconds. You say, preacher, I didn't come here for a science lesson. I know, but you need this to get what I'm going to give you from the scriptures about spiritual life. Every 23 seconds, it pumps the blood through the body so that every cell in the body is supplied with nutritions and cleansed from waste while communicating with every cell in the rest of the body, including the head. Now, hear this. Once the blood fails to reach a cell, that cell dies, and so will that part of the body. That's interesting. When God said the life of the flesh is in the blood, that's exactly where it's at. It's in the blood. Now, When I began to look at this and understand my physical body and a little bit of how the anatomy works as far as the body is concerned, now move into what the Lord has said, I have 4 points on the power of the blood. How did it get started? How did this get started that we're talking about here about the blood? We go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. We see God made man, blew into man the breath of life. That's what the Bible says in verse 7 of chapter 2. The breath of life put something in man and made him alive. That clay form of dust in the ground had no life at all when God made it from the dust of the ground. But he blew into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. Now that something then must have been the blood imparted to that lump of clay in shape of a man. Somehow or another, the secretory system of the blood started. God explains it 2,500 years after he made the statement. In Leviticus 17, he explains it. He tells it not eat no blood. No reason why. By the way, God don't have to tell us reason why everything. If he says not do something, we're not to do it. I mean, he's God. Or if he says for us to do something, we are to do it. And so now, but he comes back and he tells years later and gives another statement about this blood and why they should not be partaken of it at that particular time. You say, well, I don't understand that. In other words, somewhere or another in that form when God gave to it life, Adam's body was of the ground, made of the dust. But listen to me. Now, his blood was a separate gift of God, for God is life. And God is the author of life. You say, but he just made out dust, started living. No, he didn't. That clay didn't start living until he blew into the breath of life. Now, you and I can make stuff out of dust. You say, but it won't be glorified clay. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, I've seen some wax figures that look pretty real. As a matter of fact, I've seen some wax figures of people in museums who mechanically were set up that if you listened to them, almost looked like they were real. But they didn't have life! God made man from the dust of the ground and blew into him the breath of life. And there something happened. And then the circulatory system of the blood started working. And at the very moment of that, we see something happen. Acts 17:26 says, all men are blood relatives of Adam. Their blood carries the death sentence with it due to Adam's sin. So therefore, all have sinned. The Bible teaches us, Romans 3:23, all have sinned come short of the glory of God. Therefore, all die. And have to. For another man wants to die. After that, the judgment. Now, because of this, all must die the common death. Life in the flesh is the blood. So if a man must die, there is death in man's blood. Now let me ask you, how did man know this 3,500 years ago? He didn't. Why did we only find in the last century or so that you had to put blood in a person rather than take it out? God gave us a time to find that out through medical science. But by the way, that was true just as much back in 1500 B.C. as it was in our day. That you had to put blood in. You don't take it out. If you do, you die because those cells will die. And when a cell dies, a part of the body dies. And eventually, the whole body will die. So I've got to get, as I look at what God is doing, it's going to help me understand the spiritual side more. I don't know the nature of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but I do know that something happened when Adam and Eve partook of it that resulted in death. God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the day they ate, they died spiritually, cut off from God, which set in a process, sometime, who knows, maybe type of blood poison. Who knows? But I know this, when they were cut off from God, and the life that God had in them, in the sense of that fellowship was cut off, then the death process physically set in, and within a period of time, it contaminated to the place that Adam and Eve died. And so has everybody else, with exception of two, and God can always reverse anything that he wants to do for his plan and purpose, and Elijah and Enoch is those two, you see. So that mystery is something that scientists have never been able to define, and life is in the blood. What is life? They cannot tell you. They can tell you by the heart. They can analyze this body and find so many things that's happened. But what is that life? If they knew what that life is, they probably could make it last forever. Well, God is life, eternal. Therefore, He can make it last forever. And He does just exactly that. When we look at Christ as a man, His blood was not only for His physical body, as we think of it, for physical life, but it is also eternal life as well, because He's the eternal God. That's how it all got started for the body to function like it is now. Number two, notice this. Notice the effect of sin. Since life was in the blood, it seemed that sin affected the blood of man when he died spiritually. Sinful flesh is nourished and sometimes sustained by sinful blood. Acts 17:26 again, all are one blood. Then if Romans 3:23 is right, all sin, that all must die. All do die, proves they're all one blood. All one blood, they die, proves that they, you know, they really check and balance each other when it comes to explaining this and understanding it. The fact that sin affected the blood necessitated the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A man who does not believe that Christ is virgin born, I'm going to say something, I don't care what, you can't be saved. Because if he's not virgin born, then the blood of man is not cut off. And the blood of man is contaminated. And you need a man who can come who does not have the blood of man. That's contaminated. The effect of sin. It's obvious that Christ could take on human flesh, but not human blood. Jesus was made of a woman, or born of a woman, Galatians 4:4. He was not made of a man. He was not just born of a man. He was born of a woman. Isn't it amazing how God uses choice words that's there? You know the story. The Holy Spirit in Luke 2 overshadowed Mary. And that which was formed was by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost deposited the seed of God. And man was cut off. Therefore, Mary could create, and through the natural birth, a body could be created for Christ to be in. But now you've got God in the flesh. Man's cut off. God's life comes in the flesh. Hey, you can't kill that. You can't destroy that which the preacher, but he died. Yes, why? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he was made sin for us. Who knew no sin. That is, God made him sin to pay the sin debt so you and I could go free. Now, I want you to follow me. The effect of sin. Sinful flesh is nourished and sustained by sinful blood. Jesus did not have Adam's blood in his veins. Blood relates all men to each other on earth. The wages of sin is still death. Romans 6:23. And by the way, Jesus never did sin. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, because he had the life of God, he could not sin. But God can make him sin. And that's what happened. You wonder why I believe in him rather than Confucius and Muhammad and all those others. Because God gives insight, not only to look at myself, but look at what God is doing, so I can understand some things that I can't see spiritually with my physical eye, but I can see him by faith and know that it's real. Blood relates all men to each other on earth. The wage of sin, again, is death. Romans 6:23. Adam's sin corrupted the blood of the human race. All die. When one dies, decay sets in the blood first. This is why embalmers place embalming fluid in blood vessels as soon as possible. Because just as quick as one dies, decay starts setting in the blood first. But the pure blood of Jesus Christ makes atonement for sin. Hebrews 9:22 says, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding the blood there is no remission of sin. Again, God says in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar. atonement for your souls, for it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the sin has affected some things in our lives, the worst things in the world. Cut us off from God. Jesus Christ was called the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. A woman has no seed, but she's called the seed of the woman. He is a prodigal seed of the woman. Anybody knows anything about birth? Man has the seed. A woman has no seed. Well, how could it happen then? Holy Spirit deposited what was needed for life. In turn, Jesus Christ was born. He was born of a woman. His blood was without sin. No wonder Peter could say it's precious blood. Now, my blood's precious for this body, so is yours for your body. But his blood is precious blood because it is the blood of God himself. So how did it get started? We see the effect of sin. Now, number three, the Bible is a book of blood. A lot of folks don't like it that way. Blood is mentioned about 700 times from Genesis to Revelation. God cares nothing about our man-made divisions and religious groups. Our business is not Protestant people. Our business is preaching the truth about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 3:7, ye must be born again. Nothing can change that. Well, preacher, I don't have to believe. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Well, I don't know. Jesus said, ye must be born again. It's documented. It's not a matter of understanding our own way. It's absolutely documented that Jesus said that in God's holy word. So our business is not Protestantism, but preaching you must be born again. Those who try to win souls are exalting Jesus Christ as the head of this body that we're in. Not this physical body, but the body that we're in. Now understand this about our bodies. The church of Jesus Christ is called his body. I've given you the analysis of our body a little bit in a quick overshadow. Now he calls his body of believers, his church, as his own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27 will give you information about hands and how they're part of this body relating to the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ. He said that. Right here, if you're born again, you're the body of Christ. Every believer on this earth, wherever they're at, you're the body of Christ. And here's the thing about it. The very thing that connects us together is the blood of Christ. I don't care, a brother in Africa somewhere or another, prevention in Africa right now, the blood of Christ connects us together. In this body that he's talking about, that we are a part of Christ. In this body, Jesus Christ is the head. And all believers are members. These members are related by Christ's blood, just like my toe, say, and my head are related together by the physical blood. Again, we may differ in color. We may differ in sizes. We may differ in function and structure, but we're united by Christ's blood that reaches us all in the body of Christ, no matter where we're at. Once we've been born into the family of God, every born again person has been washed in Christ's blood. Revelation 1 and verse 5, the latter part of that verse says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, how? In his blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 also tells us we've been washed in his blood. I don't care if you're poor, rich, king, peasant, educated, uneducated. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And let God determine how, the fact you receive him as Savior, and then he does what he does, and he gives us confidence as we study his word to believe him. We're all brothers in Christ. Now this helps me. As I begin to see how God started, I began to understand the effect of sin, and people talk about a bloody book, and it's certainly that. This helps me understand why the virgin birth is so important. Revelation 12, verse 10 to 11, the Bible says, they overcame, the Old Testament saints, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. This is how we overcome the affection of sin. In John chapter 1, verse 9, he teaches us that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7 talks about how he forgives us, washed in the blood, forgive us our sin. It is Christ's blood that cleanses us. The tribulation saints overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their power, he says. In Matthew 1, 22 and 23, he says, a virgin shall be with child. Isn't it amazing? Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall be with child. The virgin Mary. Isn't it amazing how God emphasized the word virgin? And then we have people come, oh, he ain't talking about what we think is a virgin, just a young woman. No, he's talking about a virgin. A pure young girl who had never known man. By the way, that's what a virgin is. And that's what God emphasized in His Word. One may reject the Bible as God's Word. And I can understand that. Somebody says, I don't believe that to be the Word of God. Okay, I agree with it. If you want that, fine. For say, but let me say this. Can you read this book? Yeah. Well, when you read this book, you cannot deny, though you don't believe it to be the Word of God, you can't deny that this book says that she'd be a virgin. Simple as that. How can anyone reject the Bible teaching about the virgin birth? Or they may reject the Bible as a whole being God's Word, but when you read it, you can't reject it. It doesn't teach the virgin birth. Because it does teach the virgin birth. Revelation 1 again, verse 5, it washes from our sins in His own blood. 1 John 1, 7. He didn't say, and another thing, God said to Israel in Egypt, when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. He did not say, listen, when I saw your goodness. He didn't say, when I see your morality, your works, your religion. No, sir. He said, I see the blood. You know what that meant? That meant that Israel believed God and did what He said to do when they saw the blood. When He saw the blood. You know what it means to you and I? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You trust Christ as your personal Savior? God will put the blood there. Just like He overlooked Israel for them putting the blood physically on the doorpost. He puts it on the doorpost of our heart in a spiritual way. For us to be saved. Then they sung a new song. It was about the blood. Jesus was without sin. Therefore, deathless until He took on sin of Himself and He died for sin. That's the story. You're not hearing that today. You're hearing a lot about how to get well by using His name. But very little is said to a lost world. You say, well, most of the world is saved. Hogwash. I don't believe that. If this world was saved, sin wouldn't be doing like it does. Years ago, I have to come along when I know when a lot of folks, the society thought was sin just because they believed they were taught from the Bible sin. Nowadays, nobody thinks anything's sin. It's the culture we're living in. We've changed it all as human beings in our particular day. God provides a way that Jesus could take on flesh, yet not have Adam's blood. Hebrews 2:14, He talked about taking part. It is a proven fact that the blood in an unborn baby's arteries and veins is not derived from the mother, but produced within the body of the fetus, as science would call it. It is only after the male sperm has entered into ovum in the fetus that begins to develop that blood appears. There is no sign of any life other than the fact of conception until you see the little article of blood. I've seen diagrams. Don't start over here and come here. Just starts everywhere as life within just a few hours. After conception, little red streaks show up, denoting the presence of blood as a sign of life. It's the sign of blood that begins to show the sign of life. Not one single drop of blood ever passes from the mother to the child. Interesting. The placenta, which is this issue linking the child to the mother, is so constructed that nutrition can pass from the mother to the child and waste from the child to the mother, and not one bit of the child's blood nor the mother's blood intermingle. It's done through a process of osmosis. Proteins and fat and carbohydrates and salt and minerals and antibiotics, the child can go to the child through the placenta. And then the waste of the child can pass to the mother through the placenta. They come right and through osmosis pass from one to the other. But blood never goes in from the mother to the child. During the process, not one drop of blood is exchanged between them. The child's blood is produced within the child itself after conception. The mother contributes no blood at all. And you can find that in numerous textbooks. If you want to look it up sometime, Howe's textbook of physiology, the second edition, page 885 and 886 tells us that. One of the very books years ago that people used to study such things. Adam's descendants takes on both flesh and blood. Christ took on only part. He took on the flesh part. No blood. Hebrews 2:14. His blood was sinless blood. Divine blood. Peter says, 1 Peter 1, 18-19, precious blood. Now listen, if you need some blood, blood becomes precious to you. And by the way, you just can't take any type, anybody's old blood. Can you? What do? They take your type. What is your type? Well, most of them may be general. What is general A? Is A general? Or is it X? But we're saying, you got to be sure it's the right type. Because you put the wrong blood type in you, if you need blood, it will affect you. Even kill you. When you talk about God and His plan and purpose and the new birth, only one blood will work.
Yeah, that's right.
Only one blood will work. Only one blood will bring eternal life. Nobody else's will work. No one else has any idea what to do. Even if they thought it could work, how do you apply it? That's something that God Himself has never told us, but He says, I'll do it. He says, you'll be washed in it. Washed in it. His blood was sinless. Blood, divine. There has never been any other like it. Because only it can wash us and give us eternal life. Nothing else like it. And the death of Christ was not an accident. Sometimes we talk about spill, and I know sometimes we say that without thinking, but when you spill something, it's an accident. His blood was shed. His blood was given on Calvary. He laid down His life for us and shed His blood so we might have life and live forever with Him. What a truth. What an amazing Savior we have. What a great God we have. He's not left us here ignorant. Well, preacher, all that, you believe that been taught. No, I believe that because I've studied it inside and out from this book. I'm messing my light up. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. It makes sense. God started out at the beginning, life, flesh, and the blood. Didn't tell them why, but later He did tell them. He said, don't eat no blood first. He said, don't eat any blood at all. Let it go back to the dust. Then later He said, life of the flesh is in the blood. He gave it another time years later. And then He talked about His Son being virgin born. And then He saw point to the future when Jesus had come. And said, without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin. What He said at anything, like everything else, look at the physical aspect of life. And when you trust me as Savior, until I can get you home to see it with the glorified eyes, believe me, here's how it works physically, and then believe that I've set up a system spiritually that I can give eternal life just like I gave physical life. Believe me. Trust me. And the day will come, you see it, and it's entirely like it should be. Right now, everything is by faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the world looks at it and says, you're a bunch of morons. You claim everything. You know, you don't have answers for us here to get us out of this mess. And so you come up with all this magical stuff that's like Harry Potter. No, it's not. That's a lie from the pit of hell, Harry Potter. I'm talking about something that comes from God. And He's documenting His Word. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in this blood that you and I have, but it's no ways like His blood. The only thing I can do for you, if I wash it in my blood and make it red. And by the way, it is red. I took some this weekend. I mean, I checked it. I didn't drink any, I checked it. It's red. Sometimes it don't come out as much as I like when I'm trying to take my sugar, but it's still red. It can't do nothing for you. It can do something for me. And if you need it, I can give you some to help you physically. That's as far as it can go. I'm talking about someone, if you're not saved today, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God said, I'll wash you clean. I'll make you clean. I'll put you into my family. I will bring you into the body of Christ. I will baptize you, immerse you into that body spiritually. See it happen in your in your mind. And I'll keep you until I take you home, either through the exit of death or through the rapture, one or the other. That's how God lets us see these wonderful truths, ladies and gentlemen. It's not something that we're grabbing in air, hoping it'll be there. No, it's genuine faith that makes it real. And everyone in here has that. A faith. There's a drawing of the Lamb of God to give you faith to trust Christ as Savior. And He'll give you assurance. I'm so sure of what I've told you today. There's much more to be seen. I'm so sure that God has let us see a little bit about our body, and in our age, know more about it than man's ever known. If any time in age is going to get accountable before God, it's going to be our age, because He let us see so much as human beings of what we can see that blows our mind and what we can do. And yet, instead of getting closer to God, man gets further from God. Well, I'm glad you don't have to go to the moon to get close to God. You just have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And to do so, you'll find there's power in the blood. Sing with me. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood word of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Our Father, we want to thank You again for this day. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God You preserve for our day. Dear Lord, if there's one person here not saved, please don't let them leave without looking at the facts. And the Holy Spirit, help us understand those truths. Jesus said you must be born again. In physical life, it takes the blood for the body to live. In spiritual life, it takes the blood for us to have eternal life in the body of Christ. Make it real to someone today, either here or by the way, radio in a few moments. For the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.